Welcome to Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 12. As a general disclaimer, I feel like I have been coming down with a cold, so I might come across as sounding a little bit gross and sickish, and that is the reason why. I apologize if that is the case. I've been thinking about some things recently, and I want to talk about them. At the end of the day, one of the reasons why I started this podcast was because I wanted to talk about some of my thoughts on dance. So this episode today might be a little bit more rambly than some of my previous episodes. I have an idea of what I want to talk about, but for the life of me, I cannot think of a way to transition into it directly. So we're going to start with a little anecdote, as usual. Back in November, I took a little trip to Houston. And while I was in Houston, I was able to see family, but more relevantly, I was able to see my friends who were still in basic. They were preparing for RDT and they were having some event where they were filming most of their RDT dances. It sort of tripled as filming a boba fundraiser and a half-assed social. And I say half-assed social because it wasn't a proper social event in that this was an event that was probably absolutely required for you to attend if you were in one of the filmed dances. And so the social aspect of this event was absolutely not the focus or the point. It was more after all the filming had concluded, they planned to have some sort of random dance. And that's why I say half-assed social, because the people who attended were primarily not there for the social. They were there because they had to be. And then they stayed because at a certain point, it was a little bit unclear about what was happening. And then they just stayed for the vibes, I guess. Basic has grown a lot since I was in Basic. And it's been a couple of years. I only really know some of the upperclassmen. And I at most heard of like two underclassmen. Although I do want to say, I did have a very strange relationship with one of the current Basic kids. And they started dancing the year after I graduated, or rather they started participating in Basic the year after I graduated. But they are, I believe, a third year, so they could have theoretically shared time with me in Basic had they joined a year earlier. But up until this point, we had been circling the same group chat for a while because of mutuals, but we hadn't actually met each other in person until literally the day of this event. And I can safely conclude that this kid gives off good vibes. But I came to this event because Audrey offered to take me. And since I had dinner plans with my closer friends, this was more of a say hello to the children who weren't coming to dinner thing for me. And it was nice. I got to see the kids' improvement, and I got to see most of the dances for RDT because I wasn't staying for RDT. And I would say that nearly all the dances I saw there were very well done. One thing that's been around in Basic for a long time is that the kids always complain about the process, and more specifically about how Basic has always been underwhelming in their results, or that the club in some way doesn't meet their expectations in terms of output. But honestly, basic outputs, more well-done dances than poorly dances, I would say. It's more of a consequence of a lot of people having really high expectations for this club that's unreasonable for the kind of club that it is. So of all the dances that I saw that day, or rather, almost all of them were very well done and at the same level of polish and cleanliness and sharpness and everything. But there were two dances that stood out. One of the dances was so sharp, super polished, and I was extremely impressed. And the other dance seemed to be struggling more than the others, and it kind of just came across that way in its filming. And you know what? While I'm still thinking about this, this is just a complete little aside, but the dance that was the least polished of the bunch was visually not a hot mess. I believed that it was a beginner dance because there were lots of very clearly beginner dances in that dance. And, you know, for a beginner dance, I have most certainly seen worse of intermediate dances. But I would later be told about some of the problems this dance had behind the scenes, as well as some of the current members' takes on the director. But director Anna, when she was watching this dance for the first time, she was watching this dance removed from the drama and was judging it based on pure results. For the most part, the dance was, it was fine as a beginner dance. There were some parts of the dance that were visually together, but audibly were not together. Unfortunately, this dance had claps in the choreography. So at points, I would just hear at different times, which it's never a good sign. Giving them the benefit of the doubt, though, the second time they ran that dance, they sounded much more put together. There was one single in the choreography, at least in that regard. The result, the consequence of some of the production troubles that this dance faced were still very present in this dance. But production stuff aside, I'm not sure how much this is like a production thing, but it was odd. In my opinion, it was odd. About halfway through the dance, there is this little duet part with the two dancers, and that part, it looked mostly fine. But as that little duet solo bit ends, two people come up from the left side, and they get to their spots behind this little solo duet group, and they get to their spots a little bit, you know, early, regularly, as you do. But they situate themselves in an almost triangle. Like, there was the tip of the triangle and the back right part of the triangle, but the left back part was missing. And I would say that it was more of a two-person, one could say that this is also a two-person diagonal, but it was the way that they situated themselves that gave it more of a triangle formation, but missing a person kind of a thing. If it were a diagonal, there's somebody more in front, but the two people would be splitting the center. However, it wasn't that way. It was the person who was at the front, but they were at center. So it was giving more triangle sense in that way. And I don't know, but the person in the back right, they also kneeled towards the center, and the person in the center just stood there waiting until it was their time to do whatever part of the choreography. And they had this little solo bit for about an 8 count-ish, and then the person in the back stands up and steps up next to the person who is in center and does this little, like, hand-arm movement or something, and then just it sort of pauses there, and it's like a signal for everyone who's waiting on the sides to come back into the dance for the next formation. And this takes a total of about 4-8 counts, maybe, if we're being generous. But I don't know, maybe it was the fact that these are kind of awkward movements and can come across as awkward and unfinished for a more beginner dancer, or for a dancer who's not putting the proper intentions behind each movement. Or maybe it was because the director just made an odd choice, but the staging and the subsequent movements made it look like they were legitimately missing a person. I literally had to ask someone if they were missing a person to confirm, because to me, that was the only reasonable explanation. And as we well know, and as we well know now, this was one of those dances that was very much troubled by production shenanigans. And seeing the products, this news was not surprising in any degree. But if I had to put a label on this dance, I would have said it was either beginner or a poorly done intermediate dance, just because of the level of dancers who were in this dance and the level of polish that this dance was able to achieve. So given what I told you, what level do you think it is? Think about that. Because unless you know what I'm specifically talking about, you are guessing incorrectly. This dance was an advanced dance. And knowing this absolutely shook me. To be quite honest, I don't remember, but this dance might have even been on an audition dance, but I'm not quite sure on that one. It was just very surprising because it wasn't at the level of any other advanced dance, both in that RDT set and what I've seen and know this club can produce for such a level. But there are a couple of reasons why I am not sure why this dance was an audition dance or not. Firstly, in my memory, I was mostly surprised that this was an advanced dance. So when I think back to this dance, on the very rare occasions that I think about it, the level of difficulty is a part that bamboozled me so hard that it's the main thing I think about when I remember this dance. But from an analytical point of view, there are so many contradictories in this dance. For one, this dance consists of primarily beginner dancers. In regards to basic, after I graduated, they made improvements to the audition system. So from what I understand, audition dances always are advanced dances, but advanced dances are no longer always audition dances. So if I were the director in charge of this dance from the get-go, I don't think that I would have chosen a lot of the dancers that were in this dance. And it's not because I have anything against beginners. It's more that there is a higher level of expectation for these dances that advanced dancers are more easily and more reasonably able to meet. But on the other hand, this dance has the exact number of dancers as in the original K-pop group's choreography. So if this were an audition dance, the director has control to only allow so many people into their dance. So they can control and actually have a 1-to-1 ratio in their dance. So I don't know. Plus, there's absolutely the possibility that only that many people signed up for their dance and it just happened to work out so that the numbers were 1-to-1. There are just a lot of factors that work against this dance in my mind for being an audition dance and also for not being an audition dance. Either way, though, it was an advanced dance and it still bamboozles me. I am not familiar with this dance, the song, or the group. But I was told that in the original choreography, ATEEZ had backup dancers, And I took this word for fact because I personally do not care enough to look up this dance to see if it's true or not. And I trust the person who told me that they had backup dancers. They had no reason to lie to me. But I am thinking that this part that I'm talking about, where it looks like they're missing a person in the original choreography, it looks less awkward and more intentional because they had backup dancers, supposedly. And I guess this director was very married to the idea of having more of a cover than a reinterpretation. But even this, it can't be really used to determine whether this was an audition dance or not. I'm sure that going into directing this dance, from what I know and can reasonably assume of this director, that they are the kind to want to have this more one-to-one cover. But the number she ended up getting could have also been the reason why she really wanted this one-to-one cover, is because she was provided a golden opportunity. I don't know. Either way, they didn't have backup dancers and they didn't have the other dancers in this dance act like the backup dancers for this part. So it just made the staging look really weird. And it looked odd to an audience member who knew what the dance looks like, but they know what their dance is supposed to look like. They know what the vision was going for, even if they didn't achieve that vision. But for an audience member who has no background information, it just looks such like, it looks like such a strange choice. And generally speaking, that is the audience for RDT. It is an audience that does not, that's not particularly knows a lot about K-pop. And particularly, at least from my, to my knowledge, ATEEZ is not one of the big K-pop in the big Western cultural consciousness. In the same way, like if you don't listen to K-pop actively, like my sister, she knows about BTS, she knows Jungkook 7. Like, it's just around, but ATEEZ is not one of those things. ATEEZ has not reached that level of popular consciousness in the West. So it's a recipe for making it look like a very strange choice. But don't get me wrong, there were absolutely a couple of very clearly good and advanced dancers in this dance. And their execution was great, flawless even. But there are also some dancers who were clearly, you know, more beginner dancers. And again, I'm not here to bag on the fact that they're beginners. It's just a little odd that they chose to be in an advanced dance, because I got the impression that these kids just started dancing. So they either severely overestimated their own skill level, which I don't think is necessarily the case, or they're super big ATEEZ fans, which is probably more likely. But again, I'm not here to bag on them. Sometimes trying a more challenging dance early on is good for you as a dancer, even if it won't necessarily look amazing when you do it. It's fine. We've all been there, and it takes a lot of guts to do something out of your comfort zone. And with a good director, or even better, a director with whom you vibe, as a beginner dancer, you can get your body to actually do what you want it to. So I'm not here to bag on the beginners. They either wanted a challenge, or they're big ATEEZ fans, or they're both, or most unlikely, they just don't know that they're beginners. But I'm here to bag on someone. And those someones are the people who I know have been dancing since they were first years in university, and they're now upperclassmen, and they still don't know what level of dancers they are. This group is mostly seniors, but there could be a junior or two snuck into this category. I just don't know how old they are. But, you know, they walked into this club thinking that they were the shit, and they still hold that belief to this day. And they do not seem to have any self-awareness of how they actually dance. And that really stunts their improvement. But all of this actually leads me into the reason why we are here today. While I was there at this event, I overheard a basic kid talk shit And this kid, I believe is a fourth year now. But regardless of what year, is generally upperclassmen. When I was still in school, they had a very high opinion of themselves, and they were often out of touch with reality in this regard. Basically, they're in this group of someones I'm here to bag on. But the vibe that I was getting was that they have become even more out of touch with reality now that it's their turn to be an upperclassman. And it's somehow turned into maybe even a little bit of an ego trip. I don't know. Let me provide you with some context. When I was still in school, they were an underclassman. So socially, they couldn't openly trash talk other dances that they weren't a part of without being either disregarded or confronted by an upperclassman at the time. It was mostly upperclassmen who were directing, or if not an upperclassman, it was usually somebody who was generally well-liked within the club. So it was hard to kind of just trash somebody else's dance. Now that they are an upperclassman themselves, you know, it's still poor form to bag on other people's dances for like no reason, but it's more socially passable when they trash talk other people's dances that they have not participated in. In turn, there are also less people who can easily call them out, either due to the fact that it's hard to speak up against an upperclassman when you're underclassman, or because there are simply less first-person witnesses remaining. So the story goes that between dances, or between when dances were being reset for another take, there was chatter amongst people who were watching, and I stood in the back of the group. For one, I made an unrelated, unfortunate choice of not wearing black. It's actually really funny. As a total pause in the story, I have an ex who still is in Houston, and he was running, like jogging around the area for exercise, because it's just a thing that a lot of people in that area do. And so I severely stood out from the crowd visually because I was wearing white and pink and everyone else was wearing black, period. I was looking at this person thinking, oh, I recognize them. And then I realized who they were, and then I just panicked and looked away like unnaturally quickly. And yeah, it's whether or not they recognized me or not, it was unfortunate that I couldn't blend in with the crowd. So yeah, I was wearing a white skirt. So sitting on the ground was not sounding particularly appealing. But I think more influentially, most of the kids who were eagerly sitting at the front were simply people I don't know them. So I hung back, and I'm standing toward the back of the group, but I'm still near other people. But we weren't standing shoulder to shoulder in the same way that the kids sitting on the floor were sitting shoulder to shoulder. A couple of inches to my left, most definitely within easy hearing range, is this basic kid. Next to them was some rando underclassman. And then a couple of inches to the left is Audrey. Both Audrey and I were standing far enough away that we would visually be considered as not being a part of their conversation. But we most certainly did not need to strain ourselves to overhear their conversation, even in more hushed tones. So if you wanted to trash talk us, for example, you would have had to talk in very hushed tones, or more reasonably, walk away. So in a regular talking volume, the basic kid says to the rando kid something along the lines of, yeah, like a couple of years ago for Cypher, we did this treasure dance and like it wasn't particularly good. Like I wasn't a part of it because I thought the choreography was too difficult for basic. And like the dancers of that group weren't good either. Like the choreography was definitely too difficult for them. And the director was like a new director, so they were kind of struggling. And so on and so forth. Just openly trashing this dance that happened 2 years ago at this point. I was standing there for a while. There was no conversational history or lead up to the statements that could provide me context or the opportunity to give them the benefit of the doubt. It was complete silence. And then completely randomly and unpromptedly, they chose to say this. So this dance that they were shitting on, there were not a lot of people in that dance. But Audrey and I were both very much in that dance and in the videos. We're very visible in that dance. And we were both very clearly within earshot of this, quote, conversation. I hesitate to call it a conversation because it was more like a long-winded, unprompted comment that was completely one-sided conversationally. And to provide you with some context, I'm going to have to get a little bit egotistic, so it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable for me. But I was not a necessarily, like, forgettable member within BASIC. I was very active in the club, and since I seemingly randomly dropped by, there was a decent amount of buzz over me being there among the upperclassmen who knew me. So with the context of the situation and knowing how similar situations played out in the past, I'm guessing underclassmen who didn't know me, and I didn't know them, or just generally newer members who didn't share time with me in BASIC, just knew that there was some rando alum here. But this kid knew who I was. We shared a handful of dances, and they were in Trust Fund, which was the only dance that they did, the RDT. And if they had a clear enough memory to bag on this dance, I expected them to remember that they were in Trust Fund. Or that, rather, it was a dance that they participated in, not necessarily any specifics of Trust Fund. But, you know what, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they didn't recognize me. Insulting a dance that was neutrally received in front of someone who was in that dance still takes a lot of audacity. They know who Audrey is, for a fact. And they actively recognize her because Audrey is still a student. They're peers. It just takes a lot of... It takes a lot of a lot. It's just worse because they insulted it in front of two of us, whether they recognize that or not. But while they were talking, I paused my very loud thoughts to figure out what they were saying. And once I figured out which dance exactly this kid was trashing, I didn't care whether I was being discreet about it or not. I walked over to Audrey and asked if she was hearing the exact same shit that I was hearing. She was. She did. She was mad. I was mad. And we were mad for a while, and we were mad for a handful of reasons. For one, it was slander. It was slanderous lies. What they were saying was untrue. There were beginner dancers in that dance, but there were also very experienced dancers in that dance. It was a 50-50 split, I would say. And the choreography, it was difficult choreography for sure, but it was also very much a vibey dance. And you can't really teach that to someone. The beginner dancers in that dance did objectively well. Besides, it was an intermediate dance. So it just had to be, you know, acceptable, on par with the other dances, and it did that. On top of that, this director's dance was a first-time director, and they did an absolutely amazing job during practices. And while this is all pretty reasonable conclusions to come to if you were just around at the time, there were also plenty of behind-the-scenes shenanigans that are not as publicly well-known. But this dance was a victim of the same troubles that Sorry Not Sorry was a victim to. Both dances lost a couple of weeks' practice because they were added late to the cycle due to some behind-the-scenes BS. But even so, to someone who was not privy to the behind-the-scenes, one day, randomly, a couple of weeks after seemingly the cipher cycle has been set, two dances randomly join the fight. So it does not take a rocket scientist to figure out that time was working against this dance more than usual. And, you know, I was just mad because of the lies and the fact that the director of this dance didn't deserve this. But Audrey was mad because of an additional reason that this kid didn't even know, this rando kid didn't even know who the director is. Neither of these people have done this director's dance because as of this moment, Treasure was the only dance that they directed for Basic. In hindsight, I am not even sure if this Basic kid came to any of the open practices for Treasure. It just felt like they were putting on this high and mighty act, so it somehow, it just made the insult worse. If you can't tell, I'm still a little bit mad. But I was so mad at the time that I was seriously considering confronting this kid. The only thing that stopped me was that, you know, maybe they didn't recognize me and didn't realize how many people they were offending. But I suppose in hindsight, they're really not the type to care about how many people they offended or necessarily who they offended. It just kind of matters that their ego is intact. But the director who did Treasure, let me shower some praise on this kid. He is somebody who is either within Basic super well liked or people are completely neutral about. He's a very kind person, and he tries really hard to not just like be an asshole to people. And by that I mean he's one of those really sincere people who tries not to make trouble. He is certainly a direct person. If you do something that crosses his boundaries, he will absolutely let you know. But he's not the type to stir up trouble or to chase the drama, which is very refreshing for somebody who is in the club like Basic. And I'm not trying to slight Basic or dance groups of the like. I'm just saying that a lot of us like the messy drama, despite how much we protest it. And you know what? Myself included. But I think one of the reasons that, at least within the context of Basic, he's somewhere on the scale from neutral to well-like figure, is because he is a super hard worker. So of all the dances that they could have chosen to say slanderous, false things about from that cipher was this director's dance, it becomes a question of what did he do to deserve your disdain so much? There were people who directed that cycle who were openly asses to this Basic kid. So yeah, we were also offended because they were slandering our friend's hard work. And this brings me to the point of this story. And that is to say, why teaching and taking leadership positions in general, but specifically within the dance sphere, is difficult and it's intimidating. You are in charge of people and things that, if it goes to shit, it reflects on you more so than anybody else in that dance. There is this pressure to teach things correctly, so you're faced with having to teach choreography confidently so that it's reassuring to your dancers, even if you aren't sure yourself of whether it's correct or not. Sometimes people bring up questions that you haven't considered or you don't know the answer to, and honestly, sometimes the odds are just not in your favor, regardless of how well you've planned and taught. And this is simply just teaching the choreography part of directing. There are plenty of difficulties and intricacies further along in the process. Teaching and directing a dance, it's hard. So one of the reasons I try hard to not openly shit on directors and their dance as a whole, especially in a club like Basic, where the majority of the members, regardless of how advanced they are, they don't come from some sort of outside training and haven't necessarily experienced what good teaching looks like, and sort of just have to emulate what their peers do until they figure out for themselves what fits. So especially for new directors, you have to give them some sort of leeway. But even for more experienced directors, I try to be considerate and just say that I'm not a fan of their directing style. Their directing style is not for me for these reasons. Instead of making it into an ad hominem attack. That being said, there are most certainly exceptions I will condone, but it usually comes from it usually comes about because of a director's apathy rather than their inexperience. At the end of the day, I would say, you know, dance is very personal. You are using your body and your expression, not to mention all of your hard work that goes into a dance as a participant. When you're in charge of that dance, it's also your creative vision that's on the line. How well the dance does is a reflection of you, your communication skills, and your creative vision for that dance. And it's not necessarily a reflection of on you as a dancer, but it usually turns into that. It's personal. So when you shit on someone's dance, overall, you're shitting on all of those people's hard work and you are shitting on the director. It very quickly becomes a personal insult. And that is why sometimes when I talk about these negative experiences, I have to be careful what I say on this podcast, even just on the rare off chance that they're listening to this podcast, because some of these directors that I've had either negative experiences with as from a director's point of view, or like I didn't have a great time with their dance, I just have to be careful because these things become ad hominem attacks very easily. And I try so hard to stay objective in my podcasts and just kind of reflect on what I've taken away from that experience. And sometimes it's just like a little funny anecdote, whatever. I don't know. At the end of the day, I want to talk about criticism and how we do that in dance, because there are and will be anecdotes where I want to and have to be critical. So I want to talk about criticism and how to do that in dance and my takeaways from my experience in that regard before I dive into some of the hot mess dances that I've experienced. I think one of the reasons that I thought that this particular instance of criticism was extremely offensive was because they weren't in the dance that they were criticizing. And that isn't to say that you can't criticize the dance that you weren't in. Just that you can't be as careless with your words. It's so much easier to be offensive when you hadn't had to put any work into a dance. It's just different. If you put work into a dance, then you yourself criticize the output. You know, if you do it right, you're also self-reflecting, self-critiquing, and it's an opportunity for growth. Plus, somewhere along the process behind performing or filming a dance, regardless of the hard work you put into it, things can go wrong. The director is always poorly prepared or simply disinterested, or there are people in the dance who don't want to respect the director's authority, or time is working against you and you can't get a lot of opportunities for practices, so on and so forth. Various internal and external factors that aren't necessarily within your control. But if you're in that dance, you are present for everything, for better, for worse. So you can easily identify when things became a dumpster fire, and you don't have to speculate as much for the reasons why things went through shit as badly as it did. Or sometimes you're just not satisfied with the outputs, and that's equally okay. But when you aren't privy to any of the production and behind the scenes, and you didn't have to suffer through it, it comes off as an asshole move when you just decimate a dance for no reason. You're shitting on everyone's hard work, or at least theoretical hard work. Sometimes it's socially okay, but sometimes you're just trying to take the ego boost. And in that case, it is not cool. It's not cash money. In terms of critiquing dances that you weren't a part of, I think that there are times when it's fair game. Usually, though, it's when everyone within that dance agrees that the dance was hot garbage or was troubled in some way. For example, I was in this dance, Swalla. It was the same RDT that we did Trust Fund at. And most of us from that dance agree that it was hot garbage and that the director maybe shouldn't direct again. And if an outsider were to criticize this dance, it's fair game to me. It's fair game to me, even though I put in a lot of work into that dance. Those of us who were in Swalla and quite literally had our asses on the line agree that, you know, Swalla is hot garbage and should be used as a never again example. Plus, a lot of us were fairly open with our gripes with this dance and open with what was going down during practice, or dare I say, what was not going down at practice. So it was more public knowledge than it was you had to be their knowledge. So if somebody who wasn't in Swalla were then to shit on this dance, they theoretically know why Swalla was hot garbage. But for a dance that is either super well regarded or regarded very neutrally, the behind the scenes gripes that may have popped up are less publicly known, usually. So I think one of the reasons why you have to be more careful with your words and criticism in when you're going to go after a dance that you didn't participate in, it's like you just can't shit all over a dance and expect it to be taken well. When you attack something that is generally the majority likes or is neutral towards, your audience is usually going to disregard your opinion regardless of whether or not you bring up good points. So a healthy way to have a critical conversation, I think, is to talk in specifics instead of talking in broad strokes. And also to talk in facts, but I think that's a given. And, you know, to be fair to this kid, I suppose, this kid was barely doing that. I mean, they brought up some points that at a glance seem like specifics. Some of the dancers weren't experienced enough for the choreography, and the director and new director are certainly specific at a glance. And when used properly, I would say that these are fair criticisms of a dance. But at least in my experience, when these arguments are thrown about, they are used in a way to sweep everyone's hard work under the rug. Generally, the underlying reason behind these points is that time is working against that dance, and we'll go into that more later. But when I talk specifics, I mean more of when you look at a dance with an objective lens, you come to conclusions as someone who does not know how basic operates. So, for example, the criticism of some of the formations were a little messy and seemed difficult to hit because there were lots of people and it looked like there was too much distance for a lot of people to travel. That's fair criticism. And it's a conclusion that can be reasonably made from a pure observational standpoint without knowing much of behind the scenes stuff. But, you know, you have to have your brain turned on to some extent to come to such a conclusion. On the other hand, it was a bad dance because there were lots of beginner dancers and the director was a new director. It says a lot of things, but first and foremost, it's a lazy argument. You really just need passive, behind-the-scenes knowledge, and you can completely turn your brain off to the actual execution of the final product and make that argument. Like, it's a stupid argument. However, the argument, beginner dancers were clearly struggling, is usually interpreted and meant as, it was a bad dance because beginners. And, you know, this argument, it's a slippery slope. The beginner dancers were clearly struggling argument is a criticism of the director. Or at least it should be a criticism of the director. Usually, the times I've heard this, it is not. It's a criticism of the beginner dancers, which doesn't seem fair. But when it is used as a criticism of the director, you know, it's fair. Sometimes a director isn't interested or doesn't know how to help a beginner dancer in their dance. But, you know, this is something that you have to be there to experience, particularly as a criticism for a new director. More experienced directors establish a reputation for themselves, and some are known to be less willing to cater to beginners regardless of the level of their dance. Or some directors clearly come from some sort of dance background and they struggle to communicate to a beginner about how to move their body properly or whatever. So if you want to become a good director, or at least a better director than you were yesterday, you do need to hear this feedback that either beginner dancers will admit or other people will provide sometimes. But to use this criticism against a newer director it's kind of lazy. New directors absolutely struggle in various aspects that's required of them as a director, but not all new directors struggle the same way. Some directors are really good at the cleaning and formations part of the process, while others are really good at teaching the choreography and struggle at the later parts of the process. And sometimes you even get super lucky and get a beginner director who's very decent in all of those aspects. But it's not fair to blame the output on beginner dancers if you just don't know what the process was like for that dance. So to someone who is actually in that dance, it could come off as very much offensive. Plus, overall, I would like to say that it is an unfair criticism in regards to basic in particular, because these dances do have a fairly quick turnaround usually, and most of the people are just recreational dancers and they have lives outside of basic. And it's almost an unfair criticism when you put the blame on beginner dancers, because usually you're holding basic up to the same standard as a club that's more directed at advanced dancers or a club that is much higher commitment than basic is. So for a club like basic that encourages new dancers, it's really unfair to the beginner dancers. Like, we're all just recreational dancers and have a life outside of dance. If beginner dancers put an extra time into practice outside of basic practice, they still can't make up for years of practice or natural talent that other dancers and members may have with only a couple of months of extra practice. So it's, as an observer who doesn't really know what the process was like for a given dance, you have to temper your expectations. Plus, I found that within basic, it's pretty common for a lot of people to say, oh, yeah, it's pretty good for a basic dance. And, you know, it feels almost insulting. And I know that usually when people say this, they're not trying to be insulting. But it's absolutely a backhanded compliment. And, of course, saying this for a dance that you were a part of or directed, it's different than saying it as if you're an outsider to the dance. But still, that one in particular always just kind of makes me feel like they're shitting on everyone's hard work if they just leave it at that. But I guess this was really rambly. I don't know how clear this came across. You know, when we criticize a director, it can get into ad hominem attack very quickly and easily. Again, dance is very personal. So when you're attacking the method of creation or the product of hard work, you are to some degree criticizing and critiquing the creator itself, right? This is just how art works. It's a lot less of a personal criticism in the dance cover realm, I'm guessing, since at the end of the day, even if you're the director, you're not the choreographer. You just tried your best at making a one-to-one replica. And in the cover space, I'm guessing, you know, there are better covers and there are worse covers. But, you know, if a dance turns out kind of crappy, it's not necessarily, like, you can't be blamed fully. But when creative liberties are taken, it just gets messier. And that's when we have to be more careful with our criticism if we don't want to have a toxic environment, that is. I think it's natural to criticize, but we shouldn't necessarily have to tell our criticism about a person's work to their face, especially unprompted. Unprompted, that's so unnecessary. But I'm talking, you know, even particularly when it's unprompted, it gives off this distinct impression that you don't care about the work that's been put into a product, even if it's understood that you acknowledge it. But at the same time, we need to be open to receiving criticism. If, as a director, I ask someone how my practice went, I am expecting honest feedback, good and bad. Just as much as we can't completely shut down other people's work, we can't just close ourselves off to criticism either. I'm getting the feeling this is getting a little bit messy and unclear when I'm talking about this in non-specifics. So I'm going to use some concrete examples. Trust fund. When I told you about trust fund last week, or maybe the week before that, I told you about how after a practice, leadership publicly scolded me for how I was handling that first formations practice. While I was mad about how public this verbal beating was and how it felt like the person who was giving me this feedback seemed to be asking something of me that was not reasonably able to be done given external factors combined with a feeling of a general lack of empathy, I was upset. But it was better to take it and be mad about it later than fight it then. I knew that it would become more uncomfortable for the people who were unfortunate witnesses, and it would just be easier to write this entire situation off as saying that I was unwilling to take negative feedback and call it a day. Because while I think my feelings regarding that situation are completely valid, somewhere deep down, there was some truth behind that feedback. Did I handle that situation to the best of my ability? Absolutely not. I was letting that stress of racing against the clock, the number of people I had to work with, and the amount of progress that we had to make in such a short amount of time get to me. It subsequently made me think of ways of how to handle such a large group and how to get this group to the level of finish and polish that I wanted to get to, without yelling at my dancers out of stress every practice. If nothing else, this feedback prompted me to figure out that I needed to rotate the groups with me so that, you know, leadership couldn't say shit about me again. But, you know, on the other side of criticism, and coincidentally on the other side of this academic school year, for Cypher of that year, there were a lot of new directors, and I had established myself as at least a well-respected director, I would say. I was sort of consulted for signups by several people, and, you know, I guess I established myself as a good director, and some potential directors just respected my opinion enough to ask me for some sort of input on the dance that they wanted to teach for Cypher before throwing their name into the hat. Honestly, I usually told them that it was a cool dance, and if I knew that somebody else was intending to sign up with a very similar dance, I would just ask if they had a backup before throwing their name into the hat. I didn't provide like any critical feedback. It was just like, yeah, that looks so cool. Hope you get chosen. But one of the new directors for Cypher was one of the people who asked me what I thought about their dance before signing up. And after a particularly difficult first practice, this director asked me for feedback on their practice. New directors are just figuring out their directing groove, so it's normal for new directors to struggle, especially that first practice. That first practice is not indicative of what kind of director they are. But for context, this director taught half of their choreography in a record-breaking hour. It was absolutely an advanced dance, But the bit they taught for the first practice was most certainly the hardest part and the fastest part of the dance. They were moving at such a neck-breaking pace that the advanced dancers around me were struggling and getting visibly frustrated. And I was struggling to keep up and I was getting frustrated. And everyone learns differently at different rates, but at least for me, I learned quickly and memorized quickly. And after that hour, I couldn't tell you what was what beyond the first quarter or maybe first eighth of what we learned. We didn't really know the movements after practice. I couldn't tell you what the timing was for anything. We maybe did it with the music like a total of four times, and one of those times being when we recorded our practice videos at the end of the hour. So yeah, it was not the exemplary learning practice, but it is okay because if a first director messes up their first practice, it is not expected that they get their shit together by themselves. It's expected that leadership give them feedback, and at least the director system. Okay, when the director system was introduced to me, it was introduced as a network of supports and help for each other. But leadership at the time was kind of keen on getting rid of that aspect. So more experienced directors weren't really at the same liberty to provide feedback as they were a couple of years before. So I guess the point is that this situation, it was on leadership to provide feedback, and an added bonus if the director sought out feedback themselves from other directors who were not a part of leadership. And that is exactly what that director did. So you know what? Kudos. But this practice, I mean, it's not, there were factors actively working against this practice. The director was prepared to only teach an eighth to a quarter of what we learned for that practice. And it absolutely showed. For one, the section that she was prepared for was the section that she taught with the most confidence. And she taught it clearly. And she came prepared with explaining the timing. It was very effective, at least for me. And, you know, that I walked away from that practice only knowing that bit. For two, the subsequent parts that she taught that practice, she seemed much less sure of herself and of the movements. She literally took a water break just to kind of refresh herself on the movements and, I guess, kind of collect herself before she taught the movements. But, you know, she didn't come into practice expecting to teach that. I think it might have been leadership on a water break that highly encouraged this director to go on teaching, since it seems like a lot of the room was getting it, according to leadership. But I don't know, that's speculation. So when this director asked me for my thoughts, I was able to remind myself of all these factors, my negative feelings balanced with what I knew was actively working against her. I wasn't going to say that practice was fine, because it wasn't fine. It was only okay because it was their first practice, but they were doing what they should do, being willing to accept and ask for feedback and ask for help. And I was willing to give it to her straight. They came prepared to teach X amount of choreo, and the way that they taught that section with the timing and the movements was great. But the subsequent stuff was a struggle, and I intended to fully acknowledge that they felt like the room had a good enough handle on what she had been teaching and what she came prepared to teach, so she felt like she should move on. But just as a general tip, it's better to focus on the stuff that you as a director are prepared for, especially when we were so early in the process and Cypher was a long ways away, and it's also a long cycle. So they had plenty of time to teach the choreography and do formations, since it was an advanced dance. So while they didn't need to cater to beginners, they still needed to be mindful on how their target audience was doing, and some of the ways to put that into action, you know, pause and ask if there are any questions. Ask more often if you should repeat a section or move on. And generally do it with the music more. Whatever. I wanted to provide them with something that they could do next practice despite how this practice went. I want to provide actual something more tangible than just, it wasn't a great practice. Sadly, none of these words were able to leave my mouth. I got intercepted before I can utter more than an Leadership and some other members who wanted to take basic to the next level were very quick to intercept and to reassure this director that this was the ideal way to teach an advanced dance. The thing is, for an organization where it's very much expected that all your free time goes into dance, you know what? They're right. That's just not the type of club that basic is or was. This advice propelled this director into teaching their whole 2-minute choreography in slightly under 2 hours total. And that's not to say they didn't rectify, and that's not to say that they didn't rectify themselves in subsequent practices after those first two practices. But I won't lie, the learning practices were very difficult to follow. While I regret I didn't fight harder to get my opinion out when it was asked, my lingering frustrations are irrelevant. My point is more that this director, they did a very good job in terms of our conversation about criticism and receiving criticism. They were open to receiving criticism and maybe even believed themselves that their practice was not a stellar learning practice, and they wanted reassurance of that. That they weren't going crazy. Regardless of the feedback they ultimately received, they were willing to hear constructive criticism. And since they came to me specifically, and I'm known for not pulling my punches, they were probably expecting criticism. But in the end, my constructive criticism, it's fair, but it's harsh. And it's not something that I can just say unprompted, even though I genuinely had the best intentions. Just after a certain point, even when asked, it becomes socially unacceptable to focus on the stuff at the beginning of practice and feedback, particularly in an informal manner. There is an appropriate time to hold your tongue, and there is an appropriate time to voice your critical thoughts. And I'm not talking about ranting to your friends after a difficult practice. I'm talking more when we provide unnecessary criticism. And maybe this anecdote that I was using, I mean, I held my tongue at the end because I wanted to keep a positive atmosphere. But even in regular practices, sometimes criticism and feedback is simply unnecessary. And hear me out. For example, if somebody forgets a part of their dance, you don't necessarily need to point that out to them because they probably already know they messed up. So in my current dance class, when we were learning choreography, my dance teacher would have us dance one by one after about half an hour after we learned the choreography. And we were supposed to provide feedback after watching whoever was dancing. And while, you know, this technique, I love this technique as a director, but whether this technique is effective at this stage of learning the dance, I'm not really here to comment on that. But it's important to know that we did not have a lot of time to memorize the choreography before we had to do it ourselves. So the kids are at an age where they're very self-conscious about everything that they do, and they want to be as accurate as possible. They're in early high school, guys, so you know it's that age of insecurity. So before they even start dancing, they're super adamant about giving this like memorization disclaimer. Sorry guys, I don't really know the dance super well. Don't be too hard on me, so on and so forth, despite the fact that we all are equally unfamiliar with the choreography at that point. And they still show the hallmarks of a beginner dancer, and that's like very clearly on their face when they show when they mess up, and they show when they're unsure about a movement. And sometimes they don't commit to a movement, and everything shows on their face. When I see that these kids are unsure of something or that they forget something, there's only so much to comment on. I think it's fair game to say, oh, you seemed unsure. Just full commit. Full commit, even if you're wrong. Because that's the advice that they did here. But particularly when they forget, it's clear on their face that they forgot. They don't need to be told four times over that they forgot. They know that they forgot. They know that already. It's not helpful feedback in the slightest. I do acknowledge that this also might be a result of how this technique is implemented, because after such little time with choreography in a recreational environment, what nuances can you really point out? Usually when we're watching someone else dance, we're focused on the memorization ourselves. So the kids struggle to find something that's actually useful in feedback. But at the end of the day, I suppose I'm making this way too long episode, because dance is something that most of us do for fun, and it's something with no definite end. For example, even though Serene is preparing for her graduation performance, which will mark her as having this degree of mastery over her area of dance, it's not like she's going to be done after. There's no magical wall that she will hit that declares her as finished and flawless and perfect and knowing everything there is to know about Kathak. And, of course, Serene recognizes that. I just wanted to use that as an example because it's unique to Kathak in the sense that it has this graduation performance and marks this level of mastery. But dance is one of those things that is always evolving, and there is no perfect. But there is progress, and we can continue to get good, or at least better than yesterday's good. We can't make progress, however, without feedback and criticism, so it's important that we talk about what is proper feedback and criticism and what is not. On the other hand, taking negative feedback is hard. And asking for it is even harder. It's intimidating, and when it's done wrong, it's discouraging. Even just putting yourself out there to dance or to take a lead of one it's intimidating. When I was preparing for the Lunar New Year performance in my fourth year of university, I was friends with the director of the dance that I was doing. And outside of practice one day, some of our other friends and I were saying how we wanted more feedback in practice. So my friend's way of rectifying this was to stand in front of us and ask us to do the dance one by one in front of her during practice. Given our request, it was very reasonable that she came to this course of action, because there were a lot of people in that dance, or enough people in that dance, so it was hard for this director to provide personalized feedback when everybody's dancing at the same time. But when it came down to it, it was so intimidating, and I've been dancing for a long time. And, you know, we told her that subsequently, and she was kind of like, well, you said you wanted feedback, and that's kind of like the only way I could do it, so make up your mind. But, like, you know, she's not wrong, though. It's just that putting yourself out there is intimidating, and it doesn't really matter how many years of experience you have. It's just intimidating. Even when I have to go up in front of the kids in my current dance class and do a section of the dance that we all just learned, knowing that I have factors in my favor, that I am the most experienced by a good number of years, and that I have the best memory, it's still very intimidating. I think part of it is because you are letting yourself be vulnerable, and it provides other people who have more nefarious intentions to use you as a step to boost their ego, which is why it's important that we talk about criticism and feedback and how to provide it, which is why I wanted to talk about this today, because somebody was criticizing a dance that to boost their ego. I guess I wanted to take this episode to say that we shouldn't shit on other people's dances to make ourselves feel better. We can't use the disguise of constructive criticism, prompted or unprompted, to boost our own ego. For one, bad form. But most importantly, it's about keeping a healthy environment. When we just randomly shit on other people's dances, it promotes a more toxic atmosphere, that this kind of behavior is acceptable. And there are times when dances are truly a shit show and shitting on them is honestly just kind of fair game. And complaining to your friends after a hard practice or after a difficult dance, it's natural. But these are both different than what we've been talking about. Dance can already be toxic. Egos get too big or it's unhealthy competition. We all know it whether we've experienced it firsthand or not. Introducing and normalizing ego-boosting, quote, constructive criticism is going to lead to a toxic environment. It's so easy to fall into that trap of toxicity in dance, so we need to take active measures to combat that. Gripes and irritants, you know, that's fine. It happens. But once the moment for constructive criticism has passed, it is important for us to be supportive of each other and to lift each other up and to celebrate each other's wins and to focus on that than the less good aspects. And when I think back to when I was in Houston and I was overhearing this kid absolutely shit on my friend's dance for no reason to someone that I would later find out has no relation to this dance or its director or isn't even particularly close to the person who was doing the shitting on, I'd get mad because of all that we talked about. And it's not just because I took it personally. It was also the principle behind it. They were doing the don'ts. And I guess they were the inspiration for today's episode. So you can thank them for all my rambling. But as for now, I have one question for you. What is the past tense of to shit as a verb? Is it shat or shitted? Because there's sit and sat, so shit and shat, right? But on the other hand, there's just the regularization of ED. Some food for thoughts before we end today's episode. But as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Thank you for listening and join us next week for another episode.